Radio Daily for Anti-Friday and Anti-2-week vacation. Hey there, it's the...
Did you miss us?
7th of August, as they like to call it, 2017. It's all the Geek Without the Week. Good morning, hello, and we're back. It's the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You might know us from Facebook and Twitter and all kinds of crazy places. The folks that are bringing it to you today, well, the lady that's always ready to go. It's the Flintstress.
Let's just get this over with, shall we?
Indeed. Hi there, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
He is a bad, bad man.
It has been remarked, so... Tell me, what happened on this incredibly fine day, yo?
In 1620, the mother of astronomer Johannes Kepler, Katharina Guldenmann, is arrested on charges of witchcraft. This is kind of funny, though. She's a healer and an herbalist. It was rumored she had consulted with a demon to learn of space travel after a manuscript of Kepler's allegorical tale, Somnium, was misinterpreted.
1934, the U.S. Court of Appeals upholds a lower court ruling striking down the government's attempt to ban the controversial novel Ulysses by James Joyce.
In 1941, station WNBT, Channel 4 in New York City, broadcast the first television program to feature audience participation when the studio audiences participated in charades.
1955, Tokyo Telecommunications Engineering, the forerunner of Sony.
Never heard of them.
Launches a line of the first transistor radios in Japan.
Transistor radio. 1959, NASA launches Explorer 6 satellite from the Atlantic Missile Range in Cape Canaveral, Florida. It will return the first photographs of Earth taken from space.
1970, the first computer chess tournament is held. HAL did very well.
In 1976, scientists in Pasadena, California announced the Viking 1 space probe discovered the strongest indications to date of possible life on Mars.
1981, the first Bulgarian satellite, Intercosmos Bulgaria 1300, is launched.
I didn't even know they had one. Okay. In 1987, the fantasy film Masters of the Universe, directed by Gary Goddard and starring Dolph Lundgren, is released. I have the power.
Don't forget, Courtney Cox is in there as well as Billy Barty. 1996, America Online crashes. All of its services remain completely inaccessible for 18 hours and 45 minutes, leaving 6.3 million subscribers without internet connection. AOL promises to provide one full free day of service to members' accounts.
Podcast listeners, this would be you, might remember in 2005, the MuggleNet fan site, Harry Potter, released the first MuggleCast podcast. It's discussions about the Harry Potter books and film series, and it's highly downloaded still on iTunes.
2007, the Transatlantic Exoplanet Survey announces the discovery of a new exoplanet, which it was designated TRES-4 using the transit technique.
It's so catchy.
It's awesome. You can't do without it. Birthdays?
We have Abby Cornish is 35 from Legends of the Guardians, the Owls of Gahoo. You have to say it like that because it's owls.
Do I?
Limitless, Sucker Punch in the Jack Ryan TV series.
Eric Johnson is 38. That's Whitney in Smallville.
38.
The sci-fi TV version of... Gordon, Ginger Snaps 2, and Jack in the 50 Shades nonsense.
Michael Shannon is 43, though, from Groundhog Day, Jonah Hex, Let's Go to Prison, and Man of Steel.
Jimmy Wales is 51, a co-founder of Wikipedia.
Did you check it first, though? Wayne Knight is 62 from Seinfeld, Jurassic Park, Space Jam, and Toy Story 2, Punisher, Warzone.
John Glover is 73 from Scrooge, from Gremlins 2, from RoboCop 2. And, of course, Lionel Luther in Smallville.
Smallville. No longer with us, born on this day in 1560, Elizabeth Barathy, a Hungarian aristocrat, a serial killer, a possible vampire.
1884, Billy Burke, Glinda the Good Witch in The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, and she was in the Topper film series.
In 1916, Kermit Love, best known as a designer and builder with the Muppets, in particular those on Sesame Street.
1927, Carl Schweitzer. Alfalfa and Our Gang / Little Rascals, It's a Wonderful Life, and The Defiant Ones. He had a very interesting career, but we'll still typecast like mad. Damn it.
Well, maybe something like that will be on TV. Not CBS. They've got reruns of Kevin Can Wait, Superior Donuts, Mom, Life in Pieces, and a new CBS on assignment.
On ABC, The Whole Reason We Came Back.
Right, just for you, folks.
The finale of The Bachelorette, then Bachelorette After the Rose.
NBC has a new American Ninja Warrior, and a deadly nest of vampires arrive on a new Midnight Texas.
On Fox, the top 10 performer in a new So You Think You Can Dance.
On the CW, Ella is kidnapped in Ethiopia on a new Hootin' and the Lady.
Which sounds like a parody of something. Freeform, the Downworlders come together on a new Shadowhunters, and Kristen gives Maggie an ultimatum on a new Stitchers.
On AMC, Jesse investigates a clue about God on a new Preacher and a new Loaded.
Disney XD, Play With Caution, is brand new.
That doesn't sound all that much fun.
No.
FX has Despicable Me 2, The Despicable Boogaloo.
It should be called that. FXX and The Simpsons, it's Mr. Plow, Bobo.
His name again is Mr. Plow.
George Bush moves in next door, the good George Bush.
On FXM, we have The Bourne Legacy.
On BBC America, your Voyager Marathon. Crazy Fast Evolving Society, Aliens Who Worship Voice, and The Rock. See if you can smell what The Rock is cooking. Fight Club on an episode.
On Sundance, they have The Outsiders.
You know, I think that was the trope for every sci-fi show had to have a Fight Club episode.
Yep.
Sci-fi Channel, 30 Days of Night, followed by Legion. I almost said 30 Days of Legion, which would be weird.
On TBS, New American Dad and People of Earth.
TNT, Will and Alice continue to collaborate. Yeah, on a new episode of Will.
On USA, it's WWE Monday Night Raw.
But if we're watching anything tonight, it'll be on the Lifetime Movie Network because two, not one, but two of Michael Jackson's trusted bodyguards reveal the singer's devotion to his children and the hidden drama that took place during the last 2 years of his life. Navi and Chad Coleman star in Michael Jackson Searching for Neverland.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Gabby makes a decision regarding Chad. Or rather, she makes a decision based upon the decision that Chad already made. It's a matter of perspective. You're going to make the right call. I believe in you. Hashtag Chabby forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
And indeed not, because even though
everybody took a break.
Told people we were coming back, no one had the slightest idea we were actually coming back on this date, because they were confused. We had chat updates rolling the whole time, and some panels from Congregate, so you never know what's there.
JRD, but bringing you the content.
Now that
Netflix,
you know.
Netflix commercial, too.
Ooh, that's right. All kinds of stuff. Drop us a note and tell us all about the wonderful things we've done on our break. It's podcasting.
We missed y'all.
GeekRadioDaily.com. Yeah, we did, and that's why we're back, and better than ever.
Hi, I'm Dr. Squee, and I'm here to tell you about my podcast, Gallifrey Stands. Each week in a new episode, I and my canine co-host, Dottie Who, bring you interviews with such Doctor Who previous doctors such as Sylvester McCoy, Colin Baker, Peter Davidson, and each week, you're welcomed to the show by Peter Capaldi. Doctor Who companions Noel Clark, Peter Purvis, Sophie Aldred. Every Christmas we produce a special full-cast Doctor Who audio drama featuring cameos from Doctor Who stars and other celebrities, which raises money for charity, and the plays have been nominated for Audioverse Awards. And even if Doctor Who isn't your thing, we have specials with stars from such other sci-fi greats as Star Wars, Star Trek, Red Dwarf, and Game of Thrones, and so much more. Listen for free now to around 200 episodes of Doctor Who Loving Podcast at GallifreyStandsPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, the Tangent Bound Network, and the EMC Podcast Network. Thank you, and Gallifrey Stands!
Hi, this is for a Geek Radio Daily. Sweep the Leg from Marty Sensei Cove.
Sensei, they say that's illegal. Do it. Do it. Welcome back.
Put him in a body bag.
Your anti-Friday edition of GRD does include the following. Right, well, let's go see what everybody in the world did at the movies this weekend.
People just didn't really go to the movies this weekend. That's right, this week's 10, last week 7, Despicable Me 3, another $5.2 million. It's made $240 million on a budget of 80. Will we see Despicable Me 4?
Always. This week's 9 was last week's 6, War for the Planet of the Apes, $6 million, $130 in 4 weeks on a $150 budget. I still need to see that.
Yeah, this week's 8, last week's 16, word of mouth, or maybe it's opened in more theaters. Detroit.
They opened in about 2,920 more theaters than last week.
Yeah, so that would account for the jump. But it made about $7.5 million. Its total gross of a little over $7.6 million on a budget of 34.
This week's 7, last week's 4, Atomic Blonde, making $8.2 million, 34 in 2 weeks on a 30 budget.
This week's 6, last week's 5, Spider-Man Homecoming, still pulling in some money, another $8.8 million. It has made like $300 million almost on a budget of $175, and that's only U.S.
This week's five is a new one, Kidnap, the Halle Berry film in which her kid is kidnapped. $10.2 million, undisclosed budget, probably because it's not that good.
This week's four, last week's three, Girls Trip. Some people still want to see that. $11.4 million it put up. It's made $85 million on a budget of 19. Cheap movie to make, made some money.
This week's three, last week's two, the Emoji movie. $12.3 million. It's made 49.4 in 2 weeks on a $50 million budget. That means Emoji 2, the Emojining, will happen.
This week's two, last week's one, Dunkirk, the war movie, $7.6 million. It's made its budget back, $100 million budget. It's made $133.5 million.
And the number one movie in America would be The Dark Tower, with the lowest box office summer week ever, pretty much. 19.5 wow. million bucks on a budget of $60 million.
Yeah, people were just like, I'm good, I don't need to go to the movies this weekend.
You know, if a movie really should have just pulled me in, it should have been The Dark Tower. It really should have been.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. So DC's Legend of Tomorrow executive producer Phil Klemmer says that the series is actively campaigning to get Matt Ryan's John Constantine involved in the third season, which it should. Season three is much more supernatural in vibe. It's got a cult and monsters. And you're going to have Talia Ashi Azari, a character based on the comics character Isis, and a hacktivist from the year 2042 who pushes the legions to not just fix, but actively improve history. Damian Dark's going to be the villain for this season, but not the younger one from the last one. The one that was dead was been resurrected, and so he'll be a little pissed off.
Oh.
Yeah, so he's going to be the leader of another group of villains, I guess another Legion of Doom. Gorilla Grodd, the most evolved and powerful form of Grodd to date, will show up. Now, Legends of Tomorrow comes back October 10th. How long after that before you start hearing Kneel Before Grodd?
That could be a thing. Speaking at a Las Vegas convention, the creative designers for the upcoming Star Trek Discovery on CBS All Access series have indicated the new show's versions of the Klingons will boast changes going beyond their new baldness look. Okay, they've also basically said that the Klingon forehead ridges, and I'm making the motion with my hand even though you can't see it.
It's a video cast.
is something about those ridges serving an important biological purpose. They have extra sensory receptors. Of course, we maybe hadn't known this before, but that's interesting. The lack of hair being the biggest thing that people noticed, but they're actually going to talk about how the ridge goes back because there are sensors and pheromones, and it says that it's supposed to be adhering to everything that's been true in the Klingon canon, even though it's all over the place anyway. But it's just sort of interesting. They're exploring kind of like why they have it. The change was originally a mandate from original showrunner Brian Fuller. He was also the one that pushed for the release of the tie-in novel Desperate Hours, which is set 1 year before Discovery. It's just interesting. So, I still am mad that the show is behind the paywall, yep. But at the same time, it's just very interesting too. Star Trek Discovery premieres on CBS All Access September 24th with Klingons. Ridge for her pleasure.
Ralph Macchio is set to return as his most famous character. No, not Johnny. Daniel LaRusso in a 10-episode series titled Cobra Kai, set 30 years after the original Karate Kid film, because it's been a while. The series will also bring back William Zabka as Johnny. That's right. It's going to be on YouTube Red, which means no one's going to see it. Be written by Josh Held, John Hurwitz, and Hayden Schlossberg. The plot is that Johnny wants to restore some sort of order to his life and opens up the old Cobra Kai dojo one more time. And Danny LaRusso has been doing a bit of soul searching, still trying to find a way to fill the void in his life left by the passing of Mr. Miyagi. Now, they pitched this thing to AMC, Hulu,
is it a comedy? Is it
it's a comedy / drama. It's a weird thing. I don't even know. They pitched it to AMC, Hulu, and Amazon, and everyone was very enthusiastic. They pitched it to Netflix, but Netflix was outbid. They were interested, but they were outbid by YouTube Red. Well, that's the official word, but I believe YouTube might have sweeped the leg.
NASA has a job opening. You may have heard of this one, for a planetary protection officer, a six-figure gig that requires frequent travel and a secret security clearance. Candidates have to have at least 1 year experience at a top-level civilian government employee, so you can't just be any random off the street.
Aww.
With advanced knowledge of planetary protection. It has to do with like microbes and stuff coming over. It's not actually like blowing up asteroids and stuff.
Not.
But it also sort of sounds like Guardian of the Galaxy kind of job, right? Apply. You do also
I'm
need
the
a
protector of the galaxy. galaxy.
A bachelor's degree or higher in a physical science, engineering, or math. So, you know, kids, stay in STEM, right? Any U.S. citizen can apply before August 14th. The position pay is six figures, between 125 and 187. So you've got time to get your application in, all of our rocket scientists.
I nominate John Smart.
He could do it.
He
sure.
Could.
Smart. Right. Go to space. On your first day, you'll get the lecture. You'll dress only in attire specially sanctioned by NASA. You'll conform to the identity we give you. Eat where we tell you. Live where we tell you. From now on, you'll have no identifying marks of any kind. You'll not stand out in any way. Your entire image is crafted to leave no lasting memory with anyone you encounter. You're a rumor, recognizable only as deja vu and dismissed just as quickly. You don't exist. You were never even born. Anonymity is your name. Silence is your native tongue. You're no longer part of the system. You're above the system, over it, beyond it. We're them. We're they. We are the Office of Planetary Protection. Then you make a lame joke and Tommy Lee Jones rolls his eyes at you.
That sounds about right. Set your DVRs for all day tomorrow or just take the day off for work because all day Tuesday, August 8th, ESPN's college sports station, ESPNU.
The Ocho.
Will become ESPN 8, the Ocho, just like in Dodgeball.
Awesome.
A true underdog story.
It's just going to be fun. In Dodgeball, they really thought we were going to have so many ESPNs that they would have gotten up to an 8.
They should have. According to the network's announcement, the tagline promises the network will bring us the finest and seldom seen sports, as you may remember. So if you're sick of the endless cycle of football, basketball, hockey, and baseball, the Ocho might be for you. Now, seldom seen, starting at midnight, the 2016 American Disc Golf Championship will happen. Then the 2016 Roller Derby Championships will air, which is a sport that needs to be on TV more often because I would really like to be a pro announcer.
Maybe someone will pick this up and go, yeah, roller derby is actually really great. We
WFTDA.
Should really put it on TV.
WFTDA, I'm already an announcer. Then the channel's going to air a dodgeball tournament, the 2016 Sky Zone Ultimate Trampoline Dodgeball Tournament. Sadly, Jason Bateman and Gary Cole will not be providing commentary. They're going to do the 2016 Kabaddi World Cup Final, a sport in India where a player has to tag opponents while holding his breath.
That's a real thing.
The Firefighters World Challenge and the 2017 Championship of Bags, a cornhole tournament, which is always fun to say. They'll also air the Street Fighter Championship from EVO. At 5 o'clock Eastern, ESPN The Ocho will air the Moxie Games.
This story just keeps getting better.
The network describes that as a new sport that combines dodgeball, juggling, martial arts, volleyball, table tennis, and soccer into one sport. Now, I don't know what the hell that means, but my God, that sounds great. Now, it makes sense.
That's the balls.
ESPNU would be the station to try something like this. You're in August. Your college sports are pretty much dead for the moment. Yep. So what else are you going to do besides watch 12 episodes of SportsCenter, the same one every single damn day? In any case, this is the most interested I've been in anything on ESPN in like forever. So if you want to watch a bunch of offbeat athletics, weird stuff that you never, ever get to see, check out ESPN 8.
Actual dodgeball.
The Ocho. If not, you could just watch the movie Dodgeball again. That movie's still pretty damn funny, and it teaches you a valuable life lesson.
Just remember the 5 Ds of dodgeball. Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge.
Dodge.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
You can dodge a ball. GID is licensed Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, 1993.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Come, you know, check us out at places that we're going to be. Where we're going to be, I don't know, nowhere for a while. So what you can do in the meantime, go hit that YouTube. Make sure you are signed up, subscribed. Cartoons come your way. Patreon folks getting news, and we got a new one coming your way as well. Holy hell, the things we have. There's an app. I don't know. Stuff. Drop a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. And we will see you the next time that we do.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
You are all weirdos.
Seems I found myself on the voyage of the damned.
Good night, suckers.
Damage averted. All systems operative.
Las Vegas, a city built upon sand, broken dreams, and $5 lobster. A city where you can get a happy ending, but only if you pay a little extra. A city home to a sporting event greater than the World Cup, World Series, and World War II combined. Live from Las Vegas, it's the Las Vegas International Dodgeball Open here on ESPN 8, The Ocho, bringing you the finest in seldom seen sports from around the globe since 1999. If it's almost a sport, we've got it here. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this year's annual Las Vegas International Dodgeball Open, brought to you exclusively here on ESPN 8, The Ocho.